I know what you're thinking. You and I both, we love sports. And man, we love to engage in social media, especially real time, live when the event is happening. But man, so much noise. Wouldn't it be great if there was some sort of app or service out there that could cut through the noise and allow me to engage all the other fans just like me, still appreciating all of the value from social media? Turns out there is one, and they have done something amazing in Azure. That's what we're going to talk about this episode of Dev Radio. Hi, and welcome to the next episode of Microsoft Dev Radio. I'm here with Arena. Specifically, I'm here with Rodriguez Reyes. He's the CTO of Arena. And I'm here with Martin Schray from Chicago, one of my favorite evangelists. Martin, thanks for being on the show, buddy.
Thank you. Excited to be here.
How's Chicago?
It's actually unseasonably warm. It's actually like 37 today. Usually it's like minus 17 or something right now. So we're happy here. It's like summer. It's balmy.
Is it breezy?
Yes, it always is breezy.
It's well known. Breezy Chicago. Isn't that the way it's known? No, I guess it's windy. So cool. So you got to work with Arena. Rodrigo, hey, thanks for being on the show. Before we start talking about Arena, tell us who Rodrigo Reyes is.
Thanks for having me, guys. I'm Rodrigo, CTO and co-founder of Arena. And I'm a software engineer. I came here to the U.S. 3 years ago. So I'm living now in San Francisco Bay Area in Sunnyvale, where we founded the Arena, and then we went to Chicago, Techstar Chicago, and that's how I got to know Martin Schray, Microsoft Azure, and yeah, that's it.
Nice. So Martin, you get to have the luxury of going in and talking to all the different members of every Techstar's class, right? That's part of the deal, being a startup evangelist, and so you get to meet really cool companies, really smart, really motivated people, right? And so Absolutely. That's where Arena comes in. You guys meet, and then all of a sudden there's a connection there. And so before we go to what you did for them and what everything is around this, Rodrigo, introduce us to Arena. Like, who is Arena? We're bound to have listeners who don't know the company.
Cool. So Arena is a messaging app for sports fans. So it's a B2C platform where sports fans can join live chat rooms and talk about the sports they love. And it's a messaging app and also a web application. And users can join a chat room and we can pull the videos, the best moments from the sports, and they can chat and watch the videos at the same time.
Nice. So I get on the app, the mobile app. I get on the app and I can start chat. Who is it I'm chatting with?
So, for example, if there's a NFL game going on tonight, you join the room for that game, and it's a public chat room. It can be like fans from all over. Yeah,
I'm chatting with fans just like me.
Exactly. Yeah.
Very nice. And then is that part of what Arena does? They are putting in things like best moments and video pieces and things like that to kind of curate the content to kind of stimulate conversation.
Yeah, so the core of Arena, we developed this backend technology, like a crawler. So we crawl all their social media, like Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and get only the best moments from that sport event and push that into the live chat room. So users don't need to go to Twitter or Instagram hashtag because it's a lot of content, it's a lot to digest.
Yeah.
And we get only the best moments and push into the chat room.
Oh, that is so useful. That is so it's, you're not creating all the videos and everything. You're getting the videos from what's already being created, and you're saying, let's get rid of the noise and let's just talk about the awesome. Here's all the awesome in one place, and let's get people who love this game and love these teams that are playing, and let's talk about it. That's terrific. All right, so that's Arena. That's brilliant. That's absolutely brilliant. Okay, so Martin, you meet Arena. You're as compelled as I am, and all of a sudden, something comes to mind. So tell me kind of a little bit of where this project began.
Absolutely. So thanks for the opportunity to be here. I was really happy to have the opportunity to work with the Techstars companies. I'm a technical mentor for Techstars Chicago, and so I get to talk to all the CEOs and CTOs And Arena was one of the companies, as we chatted through things, I was like, hey, I think there's some things that we could potentially do to help. The conversation was around, you know, the site's doing good, our traffic's doing good, we're growing our business, but from a development process, kind of where we're at, building it, we go through a lot of manual steps to actually get it deployed. And once it's deployed, then we have to unzip things and do some post-build steps. Yeah. And every time we push a build, it ends up consuming a lot of time. Yeah. So we started to talk about, you know, hey, we could actually move this to Azure. Yeah. We could use Azure App Services. So you're just worrying about the app and its data, really. And we're taking care of the hosting for you. There's auto-scale capabilities. And we can also use continuous deployment. And so that's kind of where we entered into the conversation and started to explore what we could do. We did some rough
You're talking to them about continuous deployment because the more painful the build and deployment cycle is, the less they're going to do it. And the less they do it, the harder, slower it is to resolve bugs, add new features, or anything like that. So you're wanting to streamline that. You're moving them to Azure from?
They were on AWS Elastic Beanstalk.
I've heard of AWS. Just kidding. Yeah. So the that's crazy. There's a flood of companies doing that. I don't think it's a hate of Amazon at all. I think it's a love of Azure. There's just a lot of compelling sides to Azure there. I didn't mean to interrupt you there. So you're on your way to Azure. They use AWS Beanstalk. It's possible that somebody doesn't know what Beanstalk is. Elastic Beanstalk, right.
Elastic Beanstalk is essentially Amazon's or AWS's platform for, it's their PaaS platform as a service.
Sure.
So, you know, our corollary is app services. There's a bunch of other things underneath it, but that's kind of our corollary to it.
That's the umbrella of all of our PaaS, sure. Okay, so we're on our way over. Tell me some of the pieces that were over in AWS and how they fit. That might be an interesting part. I know we're going to talk about the kind of the automation story, but just what kind of boxes are we having to move?
Yeah, that's actually a great question. So Rodrigo did a great job of architecting their site. He built it kind of using modern architecture. So we use Node, Express. It also had a React framework as part of it.
Okay.
And so when we looked at Azure, we said, well, can we do this on Azure PaaS? And the answer is, you know, yes, PHP, Python, Node, Java, .NET, they're all first-class citizens, so no problem there. So that's what we wanted to do. The other thing that kind of came out of this conversation was, you know, we also would love to have a smoother experience when we've moved things into staging, and it's good. We've tested it. We've smoke-tested it. We've done our performance testing. It's ready to move over. That we can easily move it over and not have to duplicate steps.
Nice.
So that was kind of the second piece of not only, you know, yes, getting the builds over there so we can test them and doing them more frequently, but it was also when we actually are good and we're ready to promote it to production, how do we do that easily?
And I think it's an important point that you're able to take an existing architecture and move it over without wholesale change, right? You want to say to a company, there's a lot of opportunity, and now you get to re-engineer your entire business process. You don't want to tell them that. Instead, you want to say, yeah, you're going to be pointing to different things, but on the whole, architecturally, this is going to be the same solution. It's just going to be sitting in an Azure solution. Isn't it funny? It blows my mind. Back to kind of like PHP and all these other things on in app services. Still today, I can tell, I feel like I tell 100 developers a day this, you know, did you know that you can run Linux on Azure? What? Are you kidding me? I mean, how can you not know? It seems like it's such second nature, but yeah, did you know you can run Java? What? Did you know you can run PHP? What? You know, did you know you can run basically anything you can think of? That's really what it is, you know, and it's just one of those things. It's still a secret. I can't figure it out. How could it be a secret? We're yelling it off the rooftops these days, so it's just great.
I'm trying.
We're trying, man.
Get a bigger microphone, I guess.
I don't need a bigger mouth. Just need a bigger bike. That's all. All right. So tell me, and then there we are. Just walk me through the process. What were some of the first things you did?
Some of the first things we did was kind of, you know, take the environment and make sure that it ran. You know, we essentially had the Node packages, so it was pretty straightforward. In Azure, there's an environment called Kodu, which essentially is responsible for getting the code out of version control, deploying it to Azure.
Right.
And so the first thing we did was, you know, said, okay, let's package it up and let's do the default deployment. Does the site still work? It did. So we were like, yay. But then we started to look at kind of the additional steps which were of interest. How do we do the post-build steps that might do the minification or might do hash marking so that it can tell, like, when something goes into a CDN, hash marking can help the CDN figure out, oh, this really is a new version of this, you know, library, and I actually need to let people download it.
All right, wait a minute. There's so many buzzwords here. I want to make sure that every developer is like, I know exactly what you're talking about. All right, so CDN, Content Delivery Network, right? This
yes.
is where I would take the content, and I would put it geographically closer to where the users are spread across either a region or even the world, right? And I would be
yep.
copying my content so it's faster for them locally. All right,
absolutely.
So we're moving it over to, you're taking that, making sure it works on the CDN. By the way, I'm sure you could tell me this is true, that we're pulling it out of source control. Their old system is still funneling its original workflow, right? Everything is still active. We're doing this kind of side by side, pulling
yes.
out of source controls, just proving it so they can seamlessly kind of move over later. Okay.
Absolutely.
So go back. All right, we're at CDN. All right. I just wanted to make sure.
Yep. So, you know, kind of the proof of concept of step one, does the application work? The
yep.
application works. Yay, that's good. You know, step two is kind of saying, okay, what about these post-build pieces, like the minification? So shrinking the images down, minifying the JavaScript files, removing white space and comments so they're as small as possible, faster downloads. You know, can we do those steps and how does that work? And Azure's environment, initially I was looking, I thought it was going to be kind of a complex thing, but it turned out that the designers had thought of that in advance. So in Kodu,
yeah,
there's actually the idea of post-deployment scripts. So essentially you drop a file saying, we want a post-deployment script. Here's the post-deployment script to actually run. They actually give you a template.
Oh,
and
wow.
Yeah, they give you a template, which is great. And then
Brilliant.
Essentially you drop your executables, whether it's a script or an exe or a bat file or a command file, you know, bash shell scripts, any of that. You drop them in a directory and they get executed.
You know, I feel like it's... The Azure of today is not like the Azure of yesterday. You know what
no.
I mean? I feel like it's so, they've been so mindful of the actual work that developers have to do. And there's so all these steps that really just escalate your productivity inside Azure now because of that. I mean, templates, I mean, no matter which of the services is at Azure, we would have a conversation like this because there's just all these clever, thoughtful things they've added in. Rodrigo, I hear Martin saying this is all so easy. What do you think? Was it that easy of a process?
Yeah, so to be honest, I worked with Azure in 2010, in the early days of Azure. Remember when we had the Silverlight?
The Dark Ages, and, I think. Is what
yeah,
we call
the
that.
Dark Ages.
Yeah.
The Silverlight control panel. Yeah. And then when I met Martin, I was amazed at how Azure like evolved since the...
Grown up. That's right.
Had grown up. It's really good. And yeah, I think it was easy with the post-deploy scripts. It's very customizable. We can do pretty much anything. And we had a pretty complex React application, a single page application with post build, and we have server side rendering as well. So it renders on the client and on the server. So it's pretty complex and it was pretty straightforward, maybe a couple hundred lines of code on the post deploy script and then we're done. Yeah.
Now, did you do anything specific to Arena in your custom scripts inside Azure, or are these just standard stuff you would expect to see in a site deployment?
No, just standard stuff, and the interesting part was that we were running on Amazon before, and then we started working with Martin, and I didn't change my code at all, like you said. I didn't have to change my architecture and my code. I just, on one day, I just swapped to Azure my DNS, and then it was done.
Just like that.
Yeah.
Just like that. It's that easy, Martin. You'd make it look so easy.
And
no smoke and mirrors. I mean, it has to really work. And so here we are. It's a pretty cool deal. You moved it over. Was there anything inside Azure after you moved it from AWS into Azure that you feel like is actually a gain? This isn't just a parity one for one, just so we can have another company hosting it. Was there a value add that you saw, Martin?
From my perspective, we kind of looked at their process, and to your point earlier, more builds more quickly means more tests and discovering errors sooner, which we know lowers cost and lets you get more features out there. From my perspective, and I'll let Rodrigo comment as well, but from my perspective, you know, they were zipping files and uploading files by going directly from GitHub when they did a check-in to deploy to Azure staging, and these post-deployment steps ran. Essentially things that developers were doing, you know, is a zip file done yet? Okay, now I can FTP. Is the FTP upload done yet, right? Ooh. That was exactly. It was all done for them in essence. I've checked it into version control. Yeah, it's going to take a little bit of time, pull over to Azure and get it deployed, but I can keep working on other things, and then boom, it's done and everything's deployed and it's in staging and I can just start testing it. I don't have to copy zip files and unzip them and run scripts.
How automated is the new process?
Again, I'll let Rodrigo comment. It's end to end. Yeah, I mean, you check it into version control. It is deployed in staging. All the post build stuff happens, and you can start testing the site. Do performance testing, load testing, smoke testing, whatever you want to do. And the important thing after that was kind of like the process for getting to production was almost as painful as the process for getting to staging, copying files, moving files. The great thing about having it using web slots, which in Azure essentially gives you separate websites, if you will. Yeah, they're on the same server architecture. But essentially, it just does a virtual IP swap. And so they can, when Rigo's ready, they've done their testing, and they say, yeah, this is ready for production, they can simply do a VIP swap, a virtual IP address swap. In Azure, it's very straightforward. It flips the slots from staging to production.
Yeah.
The great thing about that is it actually moves production to staging. So if you, not that, you know, not this ever happened to Rodrigo, but I know it's happened
other
to me
companies.
Where it screwed it up. Other companies, yeah, other right. people. Where you have to fall back, it's, you know, it's actually still there. So if you need to, you know, flip it back quickly, you can.
We've done it, actually.
That's it. Nice plan B. Nice plan B. What about you, Rodrigo? I mean, what do you feel about this new process? Is it, what kind of value do you think Arena is going to be getting from it?
No, I totally second Marty. I think on early startup days, we don't want to be dealing with a lot of manual process. We just want to build features for the users, like deliver value. And that helps, the new process helps a lot, because before I had to deploy from my machine, zip code the files, and then upload. And now the developers, they can just push and GitHub integration, and it's done. And with the swap from the slots, we don't have any downtime. Before, we had downtimes when we wanted to promote a new version, and now we don't have downtime, especially during live events when you have a lot of traffic. That's really important.
Can't have downtime, and the more events you cover, the less downtime you can ever tolerate. Right?
Yeah, now we don't have any windows. Yeah.
Yeah, and because around the world something's always going on.
Yeah.
And so, I guess you could just follow Cricket. Right, that's a pretty narrow band of longitude lines, I guess. But other than that, maybe that's not a good business model. I'm not your mentor here, so I don't know. I think it's worth pointing out, the fact that you're a Techstars graduate, that your company was a member of that class, that's a pretty sweet deal, really, for Arena, right? I mean, it's not a big class. What, 10, maybe 12? I don't. How big is Techstars in Chicago?
10 class, 10.
Yeah, so that's a pretty elite group of people that get really vetted and weaned away all the wheat from the chaff here. And so just to be there is a pretty sweet deal. I can only imagine how sweet your application must be as well. So that's really great that Martin was able to step in. Go ahead, Martin.
It's a giant statement. I mean, what Rodrigo is being modest, but there are 10 companies that were selected. There were over 2,000 that were vetted for those 10 slots.
Sure,
so.
Yeah.
You're talking an infinitesimally small group of awesome startups got into that. And
yeah.
I agree with this company, and Arena is one of those, so it's very cool.
I suppose it's possible somebody doesn't know what Techstars is, right? But it's just one of those incubators out there that welcomes startups that they like and love and helps them along. Is it 3 months or 6 months?
It's 12 weeks, and they're actually in a...
It's neither. No, that's 3 months. That's 3 months.
Yeah, that is, I don't know. Hey, just a different way of saying it. The other thing is, though, that they're actually an accelerator, right? So one of the things, if you kind of look at, if you look at what Techstars does, they look for businesses that they think have a solid idea, a solid leadership team, a good technology platform, and how can they accelerate those companies from when they go in to the end of that 12 weeks that they can actually see, a lot more customers, more investment to help build the company, all those types of things. So that's how they help the companies.
Cool. Well, there's something about automated process. It just makes sense, makes a team of 10 feel like 100 and makes everybody more productive and makes you be able to really be more agile when things change and fix things that are broken and everything else around it. Rodrigo, tell me a little bit about Arena in the future. What might be next?
Yeah, sure. So for this year, we have a plan to expand to more sports. And as we grow to more sports, we're going to get more users, of course. And we're building a way for any community forum on the internet, any sports community, they can have their own chat room for them.
Kind of ad hoc, they just bring it up.
Yeah, and they can embed that company on their website, and that way they can engage with their fans on a live chat and also post content inside the live chat room.
Wow.
And also, we want to build a lot of features around engagement esports. For example, fantasy, like you can bet who's going to win on the game. Mm-hmm. And that develops a part of gamification inside the app that keeps the users hooked on the app.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Because I want to guess better than Martin. I don't want to prove it. Yeah. Hey, when Martin gets it wrong, I want him to pay. That's what I want.
That's right.
I want him to lose game points or whatever it is you end up doing for currency there, right? That's pretty cool. Wow. Okay, so I kind of want to get the app. Where do I go find the app?
So you can go to our website, arena.im, and from there you can get the app and check out the website.
Arena.im. Very nice. Martin, some developers are probably interested in automating some of their deployment pieces. Where do you point developers who are trying to learn a little more about this?
So I would take a look at Azure App Services. I think that's a good place to start. I mean, there's a couple pieces we didn't even cover off on. One is the auto scale pieces. If you look at the events that Rodrigo's company handles, some of them are, you know, like an NFL game or a UFC fight. They have a pretty good idea that there's going to be a lot of traffic during those times. And so literally they can set up auto scale on Azure by CPU usage. They can set it up by time slot. So they literally say, hey, we know this event's at 8. At 7 o'clock, let's actually bring some servers online automatically. They can set that up in advance, which is pretty cool.
That's nice. So it's not responsive. It's actually kind of predictive. Here it comes.
Yep. So it can be responsive and predictive, right? If you can predict it because you say, you know, we know these time slots, it's, you know, Black Friday, or it's, hey, there's this UFC fight that it's going to be monstrous.
Monster,
they can do that.
Yeah.
But they can also do a reactive, like, hey, you know, we didn't expect this event to be big. They can set it on CPU usage, and it can actually spin up extra instances. And when usage goes down, it can spin them down. So Azure App Services is a great place to start. Looking at Azure Continuous Deployment is another great place to start.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of what we built on here. I would also recommend they take a look at Azure, the web slots. So essentially you can have, I mentioned staging, but you can have, if you have a premium version of an Azure App Service, you can have up 20 web slots.
Yeah.
So you could use it for staging, you could use it for QA, you could use it for testing, and obviously production. And there's also, we did a write-up based on our work together on the Arena project, and it's posted in GitHub. So sharing a link at the end, the URL's intolerably long to speak about now, but sharing it with the readers, actually, I've covered off on a lot of the resources that I used. I presented a lot of reference material, some screenshots of where to find things on Azure, like where do I get this template deployment script.
Oh, good, good, yeah.
Yes.
These documents are going to be golden documents. There's so much value in them. It's terrific for Arena, and it's really amazing because as unique as every company is with all the value add that they have, at their heart, every company's the same, right? I mean, the needs are all there. Yeah, we're going to probably have need to scale. Well, we can handle scale. What about security? Well, we're going to handle... You know what I mean? Every company ultimately has similar needs, and it's just crazy that anybody could be listening to this and say, we're not a chat app for sporting events, but we need everything that you just mentioned. You know what I mean? It's just that's the way it's going to be. These are
There's an IoT startup that I'm working with right now that... we're doing IoT stuff with IoT Hub, but if you look at the way they're deploying code and the way they need to scale, all those things are true, and we're using the same process, right? They essentially, the engineers at Microsoft have thought this through and said, hey, if you're building this, what kind of things you're interested in? And we've gotten feedback from people like Rodrigo that have actually helped drive that forward significantly.
Yeah, same as it ever was, over and over. Rodrigo, terrific. Arena's very compelling. Congratulations on the move as well. And thanks for being on the show today.
Thank you very much, guys. Thank you.
Martin, it's great talking to you again.
Thank you.
We'll see you.